I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. We've got a cracking show to bring you this week, including the latest on the managerial situation at Manchester United. We'll also look ahead to a mouth-watering weekend of Premier League action, with vital games at both the bottom and the top of the table. We'll preview the Heineken Cup semi-finals in Rugby Union and the Challenge Cup fifth round in Rugby League. And we'll also hear from racing expert Charlie Owens on the end of the jump season. But we'll start with football, and it's been a momentous week. At Old Trafford, David Moyes, after a season of struggle, finally sacked by Manchester United and replaced in the short term by Ryan Giggs. His first game in charge will be Saturday's match against Norwich at Old Trafford. Let's hear from him right now.
I can't wait for Saturday to come, 5:30, Norwich at home. I know the stadium will be bouncing. The players look really good in training this week and they're all excited as well.
So is Giggs in the frame to take the job permanently? Well, Manchester United have suggested that they want a manager who's experienced at the top level. Certainly Giggs has that experience as a player, but certainly not as a manager. The other candidates, Jurgen Klopp at Borussia Dortmund, has now twice ruled himself out of the position. He's been at pains to stress that he's happy to stay in Germany. He says there's 1,000 reasons why he'd want to stay at Signal Iduna Park, so he's out. What about Jose Mourinho? Well, he's ruled out a move to Old Trafford as well.
I left Real Madrid to come specifically to Chelsea. I signed a 4-year contract. I told Chelsea that they never have to worry about me because I don't want to leave. So I stay here until the club wants me to stay.
Well, former United defender Laurent Blanc is expected to sign another contract with Paris Saint-Germain. So Louis van Gaal is the odds-on favourite to take the job. And I think he'd be an excellent appointment. The Dutchman has had success at Barcelona, at Ajax and at Bayern Munich. He's a proven winner. He goes his own way. He wants plenty of control, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. He'd have the respect of the players. Has a glittering record, both in domestic football and European football. And I think very much he'd be a man with the kind of profile that Manchester United are looking for. But we'll see just how they decide to move in the summer. Moyes, not really the man for the job. Obviously, easy to say that now. But I said at the time that he wouldn't have been in the top 10 if Real Madrid were looking for a manager, or Barcelona were looking for a manager, or indeed Bayern Munich or Juventus. So Manchester United with Giggs in the dugout at home to Norwich on Saturday. What a big game that is for Norwich now, because they are just 2 points above the drop zone. And if they fail to get anything out of that trip to Old Trafford, then they are very vulnerable because the teams below them have very much a chance to pick up some points. Fulham play at 3 o'clock on Saturday. They've been producing good performances at home under Felix Magath, and they're at home to Hull City, who are pretty much safe from relegation. So I see that as a great opportunity for Fulham to take all 3 points. Elsewhere at 3 o'clock, Stoke, who are in good form at the moment, up against Spurs, who are still harbouring hopes potentially of overhauling Arsenal in the race for the top four, but highly unlikely that they'll be able to do that. But they'll want to secure European football for next season. Two big games at the bottom at 3 o'clock. Aston Villa visit Swansea. Now, Villa have been in dreadful form in the last few weeks, and they are now just 5 points above the drop zone. So if they lose this game at Swansea, who still need another result to make sure they're safe, then Villa's still very much in trouble. Still got to go to Manchester City as well between now and the end of the season. West Brom against West Ham. West Ham have done the heavy lifting when it comes to escaping the drop. I would think 37 points will probably be enough. West Brom on 33. They very much need a home win, so it could be a very big game for Pepe Mel's side. The game at lunchtime on Saturday, Southampton against Everton. Southampton have been in mid-table forever, it seems. They've been a long way clear of the relegation dogfight for some time after a superb start to the season. Everton, it's been up and down for them in the last few games. They lost at home to Crystal Palace, but bounced back, of course, beat Manchester United 2-0. That was ultimately the result that sent their former manager, David Moyes, spinning out of his job at Old Trafford. Everton just a point behind Arsenal with 3 games to go. So Everton away at Southampton on Saturday lunchtime. Arsenal play on Monday at home to a Newcastle side that has lost its last 5 games. Well, 3 absolute belters on Sunday. The game at 12 o'clock is a good old-fashioned relegation six-pointer. Sunderland, who are bottom on 29 points, against Cardiff, who are third from bottom on 30 points. So one of those two teams could escape the relegation zone if Norwich fail to pick anything up away to Manchester United. So that's a big, big game for Sunderland and Cardiff. 2:05, Liverpool against Chelsea. What a match. Liverpool 5 points clear of Chelsea at the top, and a win would send them very close indeed to their first Premier League title for 24 years. Now, Jose Mourinho has suggested that he'll field a weakened side in that game at Anfield. I don't believe that for a second, and nor does the Liverpool boss, Brendan Rodgers.
I think it's hugely disrespectful to some of their players if they're deemed to be the weaker ones in the squad. You know, I think that whatever team they'll put out, it'll cost more money than ours and it'll be more experienced than ours.
And Manchester City are in action at 4:10. They are away to Crystal Palace. Now, City still very much in the title picture. They've got a game in hand. They're 6 points behind Liverpool. So they will feel that they have to win this game to keep their title hopes alive. But it won't be easy against a Palace team that is safe from relegation, having won its last five matches. Now, they've picked up wins at Everton and at home to Chelsea recently, Crystal Palace. But their general record against teams in the top eight is not good. Just 2 wins from 14 matches. So it'll be very interesting to see how City get on against Palace in that one. I have a feeling it will go right to the wire, but City might just come out on top. Well, now let's switch our attention to rugby union. The Heineken Cup semi-finals are coming up this weekend with the details. Here's Lee Peters.
Well, the Heineken Cup semi-finals take place this weekend with Premiership leader Saracens the only English representative in the final four. Mark McCall's side are out for revenge against Clermont Auvergne after being outclassed in the same fixture 2 years ago when Clermont won 22-3. Let's hear now from Saracens and England loosehead prop Mako Vunipola, who's been speaking to Talking Rugby's Simon Ward.
Well, Mako, over the last few years, you've got used to internationals, you've got used to semi-finals, you've got used to the British and Irish Lions. Does it help you set up for this semi-final this weekend?
I thought it did, but last year, definitely against Toulon, still a bit nervous, and the quarter-final against Ulster is atmosphere that I haven't experienced before, and I think it'll be the same this weekend. I think for me personally, I get real nervous anyway for games, but then semi-finals and finals doesn't get any easier. So for me, it's just go out there and just try and play my own game, really.
French opposition again. You've faced them obviously in the Six Nations, but how important was the experience? You mentioned Toulon. You've had Racing as well, of course, to lose this season. How important is that? How different is it to set up against French players?
Yeah, it's crucial. I think having that experience behind us, going into this game, we know that we have to match them physically first and foremost, and to front up there as a forward pack, set piece wise, to then compete with them. So we know as a forward pack, we have to front up in the scrum and line up more, and then we can give ourselves a chance to compete against them.
You mentioned the set piece. You look at the Amlenopter Index. It shows that the Clermont scrum is successful on 97%. Now, Saracen's not far behind it, but that would seem to indicate that is going to be a key area in the battle, should we say, at Twickenham this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've looked at it as a team, and we've seen that the most efficient scrum in the Heineken Cup this year, and we know that there's a challenge there for us, and one we're going to enjoy as a forward pack, really.
It's a forward pack that's been bolstered, obviously, this year by brother Billy. When you look back at the Toulon semi, when you look back at previous French games, it would seem to be that Saracens found themselves slightly underpowered. Billy seems to have changed that mindset, if not the profile of Saracens. Has he surprised you with the impact that he's been able to make at Saracens?
A little bit. I think we always knew, me personally, I always knew that he could have an impact like that at Sarries, coming in being the big ball carrier he is and giving us that goal forward we needed. I thought he'd always make an impact, but I think he surprised me and probably the coaching staff how well he's taken to the culture and how well he's fitted in here, really. And we're just enjoying playing him here, being here and playing with us, really.
Well, despite that win in 2012, Clermont's director of rugby, Vern Cotter, says his side are well aware they're in for a tough match on Saturday.
We're just determined to do well, to play well against a very good team. And that's, I think that probably just describes our mindset as trying to concentrate on what we can control and not what we can't, and just try and do our best, and we're looking forward to it. It'll be a big game. They're strong all over, They've got some very good players that can break out, breach and cause trouble. They're a team that are opportunist. They wait for you to make a mistake, and then they're very quick people in behind it, see clearly and punish you for it. So, you know, we have to play a tidy game. We have to look after our position and make sure we apply lots of pressure on them. Looking forward to it.
And finally, the other semi-final pits reigning holders Toulon, who come up against Munster on Sunday.
Well, in rugby league, it's the Challenge Cup's fifth round. Let's get the latest from Sam Ellard.
It's the fifth round of the Tetley's Challenge Cup this weekend, and there's no doubt about the tie of the round. Super League leaders Leeds Rhinos host third place in Helens in what should be an enthralling encounter. After winning their first eight Super League games of the season, St Helens were beaten by Wigan and Widnes during the Easter weekend. Another eye-catching tie comes from Yursul Stadium as Bradford Bulls entertain the Catalan Dragons. The Bulls were hammered 84-6 at Wigan last time out, and they will be hoping for a better result and performance this time round to advance to round 6. Meanwhile, reigning champions Wigan Warriors take on Championship 1 leaders Hunslet. Sean Wade's side are without the versatile Ian Thornley. And finally, Warrington Wolves host Doncaster. Ben Westwood, Simon Grix and Paul Wood are out with long-term injuries for the Wolves, who last won the trophy in 2012.
It's the final day of racing's jump season tomorrow, and the curtain closer is the Bet365 Gold Cup meeting at Sandown. Let's get a preview from Charlie Owens.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to talk about Saturday's meeting at Sandown Park, which is effectively the last big meeting of the jump season. It's the final day of the jump season. And after racing, the awards are given. So we're going to have Tony McCoy picking up the trophy for being champion jockey for the 19th time on the trot. That's quite amazing. Trainer Paul Nichols, he's going to be champion trainer. And the leading owner, well, that award will go to JP McManus. Well, the racing's fantastic. You've got the Celebration Chase at 3:15. It's a two-mile chase. Now, Saïd Agrougi is going to be an odds-on favourite for this race, and I confidently expect him to rattle up his fifth win on the bounce. Now, at the start of the season, this horse was firmly in the shadow of the outstanding two-mile chaser, Sprinter Sacra, but that horse season was curtailed with heart problems, and that allowed Saïd Agrougi to show what he was truly capable of, and he really rose to the top. He had grade one wins in the top two-mile traces, such as the Tingle Creek, which is also at this venue, Sandown, and, of course, in the Queen Mother Champion Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Now, what a lot of people like about the horse, Saïd Agrougi, is that it's a bit of a family affair in that he's trained by father Gary Moore and he's ridden by Gary Moore's son, Jamie Moore. They're a small outfit, but they've done fantastically well with this horse. Now, the big feature race of this meeting is the Bet365 Gold Cup. Now, older listeners might remember this. It used to be called the Whitbread. Anyway, it's a 3¾-mile handicap chase. It's run at 3:50. The likely favourite is a horse called Same Difference, who finished runner-up in the race last year. He's bidding to go one better for his trainer, Nigel Twiston Davis. But, you know, you have to bear in mind that when he came into last year's race, he was in much better form, having won the Kim Muir handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Well, he's not been in that sort of form this season, but on the plus side, his handicap rating has dropped by £7 and he does like good ground. Another horse who finished runner-up in this race is Raulco Defarge. He finished second 2 years ago. He was pulled up 2 weeks ago in the Scottish National, but his trainer, Philip Hobbs, did send out Munker Hostin to win this race in 2008, and he managed that feat on the back of his horse being pulled up in his previous race, which was also at the Cheltenham Festival. Don't rule that one out just because he's got a pulled-up sign in front of his name. Burton Port is another interesting runner. 2 years ago, he was a 166-rated chaser, and he chased home the likes of Diamond Harry in the Hennessy at Newbury. He's since changed stables. He's now with John Joe O'Neill, and he's dropped to a rating of 141. So he's set to carry £25 less than when he was in his pomp. Now, he was fancied to run well in the Grand National back in early April. He unseated at the second. But, you know, if he's retained any of his old ability, he will be a threat, and he will have the assistance of champion jockey AP McCoy. So I reckon he's going to come in for plenty of support just on the strength of that. Godsmid Judge is another horse who ran in the Scottish National. He finished second. It was a great effort there. He shouldn't be underestimated. And finally, there's a horse called Ardkillie Witness, who is trained by Dr. Richard Newland, who you might remember sent out Pinot de Rey to win this year's Grand National. Now, Dr. Richard Newland specialises in training staying chases, and this horse, Ardkili Witness, does look to be a very progressive novice. And he also gets a chance to run off a featherweight of just 10'4". Plus, he does come into the race on the back of a winning run in a novice chase at Market Raisin. So there are plenty of potential winners in the Bet365 Gold Cup. I'm going to pin my flag on the master, Veralco Defarge. I think he's a good each-way opportunity. And, you pays your money, you takes your chance. But win, lose or draw, it looks like it's going to be a cracking day's racing at Sandown Park.
Well, that's it for this week. From myself, Kevin Hatchard, and the rest of the team at the Ultimate Sports Podcast, it's goodbye for now.